Well, good morning. It's Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. Today we're going to consider the guarded heart to the rescue. That's what we're going to call this. And over the past weeks on the subject of righteous speech, that little rhyme from childhood keeps popping up in my mind. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, as children, we would spout this off to anyone making fun of us or calling us names. Today, it's a really big deal because we call it bullying. And safe to say, as we reflect on words directed at us, both past and present, we would have to admit words can and do hurt. Now, for the believer, the armor of God protects beloved ones from these verbal assaults, from these fiery darts in the wicked. But even so, words can hurt badly, even if for an hour, a day, or a week, or perhaps longer. And they can be so hurtful and wound us so deeply, although we forgive the person, or we forgive that those things were said. And even though we lift ourselves back up with the truth of the word, we still might remember those words in the years to come. You know, if sticks and stones don't kill us, their physical wounds will heal. And down the road of time, we may even look at a scar and forget what caused it. And as we have read the past couple of weeks from Proverbs, we do know words have power concerning death and life. Proverbs 18:21 in the New King James Version, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There is power. You know, we read this in the Bible and it's hard to think that words could kill, that they could cause a deeper hurt than physical pain. But just as words can be a source of inspiration and encouragement, they can also wound and do a lot of internal damage to people's hearts, to people's soul life, to the spirit of that man or woman. So yes, sticks and stones may break bones, but unrighteous words can actually shatter a soul of the speaker, as well as the soul of the hearer. And as we mature in our spiritual comprehension, we do come to understand that hurtful words hurt everyone, even the bully hurling unrighteous words. Proverbs 26:22 in the Young's Literal Translation. I really like this because it says it so plainly. The words of a tale-bearer are as self-inflicted wounds, and they have gone down to the inner parts of the heart. You know, it's suicide if you continue along that line. Spiritual suicide. And ultimately, it's going to manifest itself in the breath life of that individual. Most enduringly, those self-inflicted wounds in the inner parts of the heart will become infected. They'll become diseased. They'll spread within the life of that tale-bearer, within the life of the slanderer, the whisperer, the gossiper, so on. Not only does the intended victim have to deal with these death wishes or curses as they really are, these fiery darts of the wicked as they really are, but the speaker endures a self-inflicted wound that will possibly never heal without deliverance, without divine intervention. Proverbs 26:22 in the New Living Translation says, "Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart." And Proverbs 26:22 in the New English Translation, it says, "The words of a gossip are like delicious morsels. They go down into a person's innermost being." And what that means is they're going to go down and you're going to digest those. Gossip may be interesting. It's kind of titillating. Oh, boy. And it goes down easy, but it's going to go down into a person's innermost being. They're going to digest that, both the speaker and the hearer. The contemporary English version translates this verse 22. There is nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth. You know, and once those words have departed from our lips, they are out there and there's no getting them back. For me, tragically, I hate to admit this, but it's true, the times throughout my life have been many. When messages came out of my mouth, that even in that present instance, I wished I could have done a food recall so others and myself would not get sick from those words I spoke in haste. You know, it's, we definitely want to think about the words we say. Everyone has heard of the example of trying to get the toothpaste back in the tube once it's squeezed out. Well, here's a little story I read recently that sets the point quite graphically. It's cute. It's a story of a woman in a village who maliciously gossiped about another lady and the lady's family throughout the village. And one day she found out she was wrong about the lady and her family. She felt bad, and she had a change of heart. So feeling terrible, she went to the village's wise man and asked how she could take back all the wrong she had caused, all the wrong she had done. And the wise man told her to go home, kill a chicken, pluck the feathers, and put the feathers into a bag. And after that, she was to return to him, but on her way, she was to scatter all the feathers she had plucked from her chicken. Well, this lady did as the man told her. And when she returned to the wise man, he told her, "Now, I want you to go back and pick up all the feathers you have scattered." Well, the woman was just astonished by such a command, and she told him, "Well, by now the wind has carried the feathers throughout the village and beyond." The wise man then told her, "And so it is with your careless words. They are like the feathers scattered in the wind. You cannot retrieve them." And with that, the woman went her way with a broken heart for the words she had spoken about others. And from that day forward, she determined she would watch her words. Well, you know, it's a very graphic story, and it definitely makes its point. And it sounds easy enough, but you know, watching our words is easier said than done. And that's where our heart that we guard comes to our own rescue. The Holy Spirit works with the word that we hide in our hearts to lead us to victory over the fleshly tongue that no man can tame. Remember, no man can tame the tongue. But in our obedience to the truth to guard our hearts, that guarded heart is our hero. It's the guarded heart to the rescue. We can be sure that the Holy Spirit will tame our tongue and can tame our tongue through the powerful word of God that we deposit into the hidden man of the heart. No matter the investments that we make in life, there will be no investment able to take us to such a spiritual summit as our investment to hide the truth in our heart. And I think a lot of that is explained in Hebrews 4:12 in the New King James Version. "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You know, there's not even one thing unseen. Everything is manifest through spiritual eyes of understanding. Everything is naked before the all-seeing figure of speech, eyes of God. The living and powerful Word of God sees through religion. It cuts through the deception, and it communicates to us faster than the human mind could even ascertain using that renewed mind information that we have hidden away. Think about it. God is light. How fast can things of God travel? So the words spoken to us, and even the words we speak, travel to the innermost parts of our bellies to be absorbed. Speaking vile words is the same as drinking a delicious cocktail, but it's interlaced with a deadly concoction. You know, it's delicious, it's fun, it goes down smooth. How interesting, but only to cause harm both to the speaker and to the hearer. You know, we look for win-wins. Well, believe me, this is a lose-lose. Yeah, Proverbs has multiple warnings, and I encourage you to read Proverbs. Take time to read through it periodically, looking to refresh your soul, your mind, your heart, to establish those things that are hidden in your heart concerning tellbearers, gossipers, whisperers, hypocrites, liars, accusers, bullies, or any communications that tear down. And even more, read those scriptures and build up the heart in the way of exhortations that build people up through our speech. Our self-talk, our conversations with others, parents, children, husbands, wives, other loved ones and relatives, friends, neighbors, co-workers, educators, those who assist us in stores. You know, the list is endless. Everyone, from ourselves to anyone who crosses our path in a day's time. Every interaction we have with another person is a beautiful opportunity to shed abroad the love of God that we have in our hearts. And the righteous words we speak can change the tone of someone's day. And I remember when I worked in retail, often clients would come in and just be such sweethearts in their manner. And perhaps their pleasantness was so off the charts and above the ordinary that I would come home at the end of the day and mention it to Larry. You know, we might discuss it over supper, how someone just made my day. And people like that, they make your day amidst all those who are not prone to thinking through, speaking gracious, kind words. Well, why shouldn't you be the subject at someone's dinner table? As a worker tired from their day sits at supper and shares that you were the highlight of their day. You know, maybe they don't even know your name. Maybe they don't remember your name if they knew it. But they remember your words, your demeanor, and your kind gestures. They might never forget how your words made them feel. It well might be that your godly words energized them at a certain time when they needed a boost. I know I had an interaction in a grocery store several months ago, and I spoke some thanks to a cashier at an express aisle, and she just broke out into tears, and she thanked me so much because she loved working there, but she was just about ready to quit because people anymore were so hateful, and so unthankful for anything. You know, so that was a time that I did realize the words I spoke to her gave her hope, but it is likely that we have no idea what the customers were like before we arrived to that person. We don't always know. So I'd like to look at some scriptural deposits, we'll call them, that we can make into our minds and hearts that will return to us and rescue us from the disaster of speaking unrighteous words. In Proverbs 16, verse 24 in the King James, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant here refers to the suitableness, the beauty, and the grace of words. The same Hebrew word is actually translated in Psalms a couple of times as the beauty of the Lord. So this isn't saying that words are just kind or positive. It's saying that our words are to be suitable. And in that sense, they become beautiful words of grace. You know, positive words are positive, but beautiful words of God's grace, they are powerful. And that's a unique difference. That is a cut above, for sure. That is the supreme, that which the supreme outcome that God has sent those words to do, and how the Holy Spirit plays the part in sorting through the hearts of our minds and bringing up into our thoughts, across our tongue, out our lips, words that are suitable, words that display the beauty and grace of the Lord. We aren't simply saying positive words with a big grin on our faces. You know, that's, again, that's the outside in. We're looking for that Holy Spirit, that hidden man of the heart, that guarded heart to come forth as our hero, to come forth as to the rescue for us and for others. There's a hidden man of the heart being manifested from within us, and it is at the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, we aren't robots for the Lord. We aren't robots that the Holy Spirit uses to move around and make our mouth speak what it wants us to speak. No, but there is a hidden man of the heart that's being manifested from within us at the movement, at the direction of the Holy Spirit. That communication piece between God and us. We speak words that have the power of God backing them up, and the words we speak will accomplish that which He sends it to do. We choose what we will feed our heart. We do that. And then these beautiful, suitable words of God's grace that leave our lips are as an honeycomb. And think of a honeycomb, if you've ever seen one. A honeycomb is just gooey and overflowing with honey. And that honey is so, so sweet. There's nothing sweeter. And in that sense, there's nothing more pleasing to the soul of a person, even to our own soul. How good do you feel when you know that you have made an impact for a person whose day was going south? Sure. And these gracious, godly words, it says, they're health to the bones. Health means they are the remedy. They are the cure. They're wholesome and sound. Think about the word bones. Now, bones are living tissue. And they make up the body skeleton. They give shape. They support us when we walk. They even protect some of our vital organs. But they are also storage cabinets for minerals, for they're like a lab where our red and our white blood cells are manufactured. They, in this lab, in this interior of the bone, they absorb and remove unwanted tissue. They work bone maintenance. They make platelets. And I would say to the health of our bones, that health to our bones is getting to the heart of the issue. Those wholesome words, Proverbs 15:4 in the King James, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach or a break in the spirit. Wholesome is the same word as health in that previous verse. A healing tongue as opposed to a perverse tongue. A perverse tongue will always be some variation of a crooked distortion of the truth, just making it a total lie. The perverse tongue cannot heal anything. Rather, it will fracture, shatter, crush the spirit of a man or woman. Why? This is amazing to me. We have wonderful friends. We have children that we want to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have husbands who want to nourish and cherish their wives. We have wives who want to respect their husbands. We have friends that we want to bond with and be friends for. People that we give to and receive from. So, why is it commonplace to find humor in uttering negative words to others? And especially, well, to anybody, not especially, to anybody, to insult someone and take no thought for what we have just said, to crack a joke at the expense of someone else. You know, that is just a trick. And we need that word that is hidden in our guarded hearts to come to our rescue. In Proverbs 12:18 in the New Living Translation, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. In 16:21 in the NIV, the New International Version, the wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. So we want to instruct our children. Educators want to instruct students. It's just those gracious healing words. Closing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, the King James reads, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. You know, it's not just positive, it's edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Many of the versions and translations put the emphasis on not using foul language. Although words that tear down, they certainly are in foul territory, but most likely we think of foul language as cuss words. That's not the designation here at all. Other translations spotlight that we should speak kind words so that we don't hurt other people's feelings. Well, it's more than that as well. It is speaking words which build us and others and minister grace. It has nothing to do with cuss words. It has nothing to do with hurting someone's feelings. And of all the versions I've looked at, I like the heart of the English Standard Version for Ephesians 4:29. And it says in the Eastern Standard, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. See, here's the truth here. That's the truth. That's the real point. We do not want to be purveyors of corrupting, unrighteous words, but strengthening words that build up and fit the occasion. We want to speak words that showcase the beauty of grace of our God and Father of love and light. The godly plan for fulfilling this command for the words we speak, and really for fulfilling the true desires of our heart, is found in the reserve of treasure hidden in our hearts. And from there flows forth, at the discretion of the Holy Spirit's leading, the heart to the rescue, to tame what man cannot tame. Those words from our heart's treasury will be of great benefit to those along our way. They will cause one to feel better than they did before. Our words will minister to a soul, perhaps it's encased in turmoil. They will be the bridge over the troubled waters, or even the comfort to someone needing a friend. So, our love to you all. God bless your hearts.